By my Spirit, says the Lord. Came across a quote from one of my favorite writers of a number of years ago, Charles Spurgeon. Without the Spirit of God, we are nothing. We can do nothing. We are as ships without wind, or chariots without steeds, like branches without sap. We are withered. Like coals without fire, we are useless. As an offering without the sacrificial flame, we are unaccepted. Let that sink in. Today we're in our last message on our teaching on the Holy Spirit. We've been in this track since October. And I think, if anything, we have affirmed this statement. Without the Spirit of God, without the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, without the Spirit, we can do nothing. He is the wind in our sails, as it were. He is the strength of our movement forward. He is the life's blood that runs through our branches. He is the fire to our coals. He is our flame to our sacrifice. The Spirit of God. We're going to be looking at chapter 4 of Zechariah, primarily the first 7 verses. But today I want to give you the center focus of Zechariah chapter 4. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." By the way, any of you having children? There's a boy's name, just an FYI. Not by might. Because that's how we tend to do it. We muscle through it. We push through it. Not by might, nor by power. It's not going to be by my force. But by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This is a message for you today. This is a message for our church today. This is a message for a church in a culture where the church, as most people do, want to be liked and accepted, where we long for the acceptance of those around us, and we are tended to be pragmatists, where if it works, we want to do it, because we really do want to be liked and accepted. But folks, can I just tell you something? No amount of savvy, no amount of gimmicks, no amount of planning, be it pragmatic or haphazard, will impact our world. To impact our world as individual Christians or as a church gathered together, it's not about gimmicks, it's not about savvy, it's not about glitz. No, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. This message is for those of us today who may be feeling weary. We may be feeling a bit weak, or it might even be going further than that. We might be feeling hopeless or exhausted or tempted to give in. We might be loaded down with despair. We might be facing in our ministries today what we feel are absolutely insurmountable odds. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The setting of the book of Zechariah: Israel has just spent 70 years and some in captivity in Babylon. The year is about 538 BC. Cyrus, the Persian king, had just conquered Babylon, and he was used by God to allow Israel to return to their land and rebuild their temple. By the way, very important for the people of Israel. It was their center of worship. It was that which was symbolic to the very presence of God. And as soon as the work began, so did the opposition. Do we have a correlation here between anything? Because most of us can relate to that. The minute the work starts, so does the opposition. From outside, that's almost expected. But it also came from within. And the people of God and the leaders of God fell into frustration and sometimes into discouragement. Folks, there's a principle to remember. I want you to get a hold of this one. Whenever God begins a work, there's opposition, always. Derek Kidner, in his commentary on the Psalms, said, God's way to preface his great work is with extreme opposition. So God puts us into those pressure cooker moments in order that we might learn to depend on him more. Folks, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Work for God that is met by opposition leads to frustration. When there are unmet expectations, when the work doesn't go ahead according to our plan, when the work doesn't go ahead in the grid and in the schedule of which we had planned time for. Oh, I've got 3 minutes for this, and I've got 6 minutes for this, and I've got 8. And it has to go ahead according to plan and according to structure. And when it doesn't, we get frustrated because our expectations are not met. Because the plan and the framework that we laid out, it doesn't work. Let's read the text. And the angel talked with me, who talked with me again and woke me. This is one of 8 visions that Zechariah sees in this prophetic word. He woke me, like a man who is awakened out of sleep. Sort of like this big divine alarm clock, where there is no snooze button. And it's just one of those big honkers that keeps ringing and ringing and ringing. And the only way to stop it is to run over it with a truck. You know those kind of alarm clocks. And he said to me, what do you see? He said, I see and behold a lampstand, all of gold, with a bowl on top of it. And 7 lamps on it with 7 lips. Lips is probably not the best way to translate that. It's probably best to translate it like pipes or channels. So there are 7 pipes on each of the lamps. So here's what you have. You've got the vision. It looks complex, and he sees first of all a lampstand. And what he would have thought was this. He would have thought of the golden lampstand that was in the tabernacle, the symbol of the presence of God, that which was in the tabernacle. Anybody want to learn a little Hebrew today? Do you know what the Hebrew word is for lampstand? Menorah. It's that 7 piece lampstand that stood in the tabernacle that just glowed. It was filled with olive oil. And the olive oil was that which filled the wicks. They lit the wicks and they just kept burning. I don't know if it was essential oils, but it was olive oil anyway. That's not what Zechariah saw. This is probably a little bit more like what Zechariah saw. So look at the vision. You've got a lampstand, you've got the 7 lamps, and then you've got some pipes running off it. Like little golden things going off, and right up on top, there's this bowl. And then, amazingly enough, you got 2 olive trees, one on the right and one on the left. And you got some guy, I think his name's Bob, over there on the side, to the left. All right, so you have the image, okay? Verse 3, there are 2 olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. And I talked to the angel. And I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? You ought to know this. I don't know. I don't know it, my Lord. Verse 6. And then he said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace. Grace to it. Folks, this is some kind of a super lamp. It's actually seven lamps. And that bowl that is on the top is a reservoir. And there are seven pipes on each. So for those of you that struggle with math, I'll help you. There are probably 49 pipes going to this bowl from this tree, to all these separate lamps. So these lamps are self-filling lamps. And they are provided with olive oil for burning directly from these two trees. That's what this vision is all about. And one of the encouraging things about this vision is that Zerubbabel says to the angel, "What are these? I just don't know what they are." It's kind of good that he can ask questions because he didn't have a clue either. Now, who was Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel was a civic leader. He was in David's lineage, so it was acceptable for him, it was right for him to be the one who was overseeing the rebuilding of the temple. He had a very important role. He was doing the work of God. He was building the temple. And at every corner, he was facing opposition. He was facing difficulties. He was facing people challenges. He was facing financial challenges. He was facing just some of the logistical challenges, you know, of having to deal with the MTO, of having to deal with transportation, of having to deal with all of those things. And they're all there, and they are there all the time. And folks, guess what? They don't go away. We have worship leaders. Our worship leaders, I am so grateful for you every week. You guys are just always here. But what I don't see behind the scenes is, you know, okay, the pastor gave us a new song to do on Sunday morning, and he gives it to us on, you had lots of time this week, brother, lots of time this week. And they work through it, and they just do it. Our children's workers, who on a regular basis are constantly looking after our precious young people and our precious kids. And they're looking after them all the time. And they're trying to build into their lives. And they face struggles. And they face difficulties. Our Awana leaders, consistent, every week. Always working, always down on the ground with the kids and struggling with them through things and helping them along. Man, I appreciate them. All of our ministry leaders, in so many ways, when you guys stood up, you guys are the real ministers and the servants and the heroes at CBC. But you don't do this without opposition. Opposition is real. Difficulties are real. Sometimes you feel frustrated. We all do. Sometimes you feel discouraged. I mean, things didn't go the way you wanted them. Maybe there wasn't the turnout that you thought. Or maybe you just didn't get the support that you thought you should get. God's word to Zerubbabel in that day, God's word to you today is this. Don't give up. Do not give up. But he's not just giving you a pep talk like a coach. No, he's doing something more than that. He said, you need to stop pretending that your strength is sufficient. You need to stop thinking that your ingenuity, that your planning, that your creativity, that your chutzpah is going to be enough to carry this thing off. Because it's not. Every time I think that by my own strength and by my own ability it's going to get pulled off, guess what happens? I usually end up flat on my back somewhere because something has knocked me there. It's at those moments when I'm tempted to think that my strength is sufficient that I need to hear these words, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The work of God isn't carried on by our collective strength and our collective ability. It's not carried out by the strength of this group of people or by the strength of the group of the people that are downstairs. No, it's not carried out by that. Any of you ever meet a control freak? Any of you sitting next to a control freak? Yeah, nobody's brave enough to put their hands up. They freak out when they're not in control, hence the term control freak. You know, I'll fix it, I'll manage it, I'll control it, I'll micromanage it. People like this often end up broken or blaming, often both. They're broken because they finally come to grips with the fact, no, I can't do this on my own and in my strength. And when they are broken, then they end up blaming somebody else for their failure. That's often what happens. This vision speaks to Zerubbabel and his team. And this vision speaks like a laser beam into their lives. And it says this, that's this temple that you have been working on, that you have been sweating about, will be built. It's not going to be by your strength. It's not going to be by your collective strength. It's not going to be by your strength as an individual. No, because it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Are you ready for this, folks? All of your planning, all of your prowess, all of your principles are insufficient to do the work of God. You might be very good at what you do, but it's insufficient to do the work of God because it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Folks, the same Holy Spirit who hovered over the creation in Genesis 1. Wow. I have had a lot of things happen in church. The same Holy Spirit that hovered over the creation in Genesis 1. The same Holy Spirit who brought that valley of bones, that valley of dry, dusty, decomposed bones to life in Ezekiel 37. That same Holy Spirit who gave you new life in regeneration, John 3. That same Holy Spirit who has taken up his residence within you as a dwelling place, 1 Corinthians 6, that same Holy Spirit who did these things and more, get this, he wants to work in you and he wants to work through you. Some pretty important prepositions. In you and through you. Here's a principle. The answer to opposition. Well, we'll make it all go away. The answer to the fatigue in the work of God. Your answer to your unmet expectations, to your discouragement, your frustration, your worry, your insurmountable odds is this. It is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's what God said to Zerubbabel right here, right in the midst of his frustration, right before he had to meet with the building inspector, right before he heard that the pipes in the bathroom had busted, right before he heard that the kindergarten class had taken the teacher hostage. Right before that happened. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. I want to give you three, I think, are life-changing truths. I'm going to have to move quickly. Number one, the Holy Spirit is inexhaustible. Receive this. The Holy Spirit is inexhaustible. He never runs out of supply. Never. His supply for your empowerment never comes to an end. You say, where are you getting that from? Look at verses 2 and 3. And he said to me, what do you see? And behold, a lampstand all of gold with a bowl on top of it. There's that reservoir. And seven lamps on it with seven channels on each of the lamps that are on top of it. Jump down to verse 11. Then I said to him, what are these two olive trees on the right and on the left of the lampstand? And a second time I answered and said to him, what are these two branches of the olive trees which are beside the two golden pipes from which the golden oil is poured out? Now you get this? Trees, branches, connected with an IV. The IV goes into this lamp with a continuous, unending supply of oil. That's the image of that tree, of those two trees, of that lamp, with all of those pipes and all of those bowls and all of that light taking place. It is a picture of inexhaustible supply. Inexhaustible supply that will never go out. Now imagine Zerubbabel feeling discouraged in his work because of opposition, because of a lack of progress, perhaps because of the same problems that keep coming up day after day, week after week, month after month, minute after minute. This message is intended to encourage him. It's intended to fill him with hope. It's a promise. This passage is a promise that this project, this temple, will be completed. Imagine how he felt that day. I belong to a God. His Spirit is in me. And his supply is inexhaustible. I am attached to a well that will never run dry. That's his message. Receive that. Receive that as your own. Because it's true. In John 7, Jesus said, on the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And the one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flowing from deep within him. He said this about the Holy Spirit. John 7, 37 to 39. Now, this is not some stagnant pond. This is a life-giving, life-providing, never-ending stream. I don't know where all of you are in your strength. I don't know where you are in your ministries. For our ministry leaders, I'm sure some of you are all over the board as far as the spectrum goes. Some of you, maybe you find that your strength might be fading. For some of you, it might feel very limited. You might feel really weak today. You might have no strength. Or you might be sitting here relying on your own strength. You might be thinking, I got this. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Holy Spirit never takes a day off. His supply to you is unlimited. It is inexhaustible. It is never low. He is always there. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Folks, as a church family together today at our annual general meeting, be encouraged. Be encouraged at what God is doing. Be encouraged at the inexhaustible supply that you have available to you in the indwelling Spirit of God. Don't give up. There's a second life-changing truth about the Holy Spirit here. It's this. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful. Believe this. Holy Spirit is not looking for people who are strong. He is not looking for people who are mighty or clever or think they have it all together or think that they can organize you into a corner or they can manage you into a corner or they can be more creative than you. No. The kind of a person the Spirit of God is looking for is a person who is utterly dependent because the Holy Spirit holds all the cards. The idiom, holding all the cards, it actually does come from playing cards, but it actually is more of an idiom, and it has to do with having all the place of power and advantage. Well, that's the position that the Holy Spirit holds. He does hold all the cards. He holds all the power over us. He holds all the power to change us. Let me ask you a question. If the Spirit of God can't change a person, how do you explain the Apostle Peter? In the book of the Gospel of Matthew, the Apostle Peter is probably like some of you have been in public settings when they say, "Hey, do you know Jesus?" And you just kind of make a bit of a mumble thing. He went a little farther than that. He denied that he even knew him. He denied, no, and he used profanities to pepper the mark. And do you know who it was that confronted Peter on that day in Matthew 26? Oh, yeah, it was a big, strong, strapping guy. No, it was a little girl. He wimped out. Peter, in his own strength, was afraid and walked away. Matthew 26, Acts chapter 2. The Apostle Peter is standing before thousands. You know how I know there were thousands? Because 3,000 people believed on that day. On that day, he preached with boldness the message of the cross and the resurrection before thousands, and he did it without fear. That was the same guy. Acts chapter 5. He is standing before the Jewish leaders. He had just been beaten. And then just a few verses later, it says, and Peter rejoiced because he was counted worthy. He was counted worthy to suffer for the name. What was the changer for that? What changed? It was the Spirit of God that made the difference. I can imagine Zerubbabel looking at that unfinished work of the temple. How in the world are we going to do this? How is this even going to be possible? This is his frustration. This is his discouragement. And folks, it's ours too. Hold on. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Imagine there's Zerubbabel standing and looking at that unfinished temple. Now for a moment, take a moment and stare over at our ministry map, especially focused in on that middle column. How are we ever going to be able to be witnesses in all the world? Look at the magnitude of our world. As of this morning, 7.53 billion people on this planet. That's billion with a B. 3.14 billion of those people continue to be unreached. 3.14 billion of those people continue to be unreached, and by unreached, not even an opportunity to hear the gospel. Okay? That's 41.4% of our population. Think about Canada. Think about Canada, where the church has for the most part been marginalized and pushed to the side and just viewed as irrelevant, with a population of 37.6 million people. Look at CBC. A relatively small church, placed here by God, surrounded by cornfields and a lot of snow this morning. Do we really stand a chance? Seriously, do we? No? Oh, wait, I have to preface that. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. See, folks, that's really what it does come back to. The only one who can carry forth the mission of Christ into this world is the Holy Spirit of God. He is the one that is all-powerful. He is the one that can work in and through us. Can I ask you to pray about something today? Would you pray that God would pour out His Spirit and power upon this place? Upon you? I remember a story of a Welsh revival that the person who was preaching at the revival, he was asked, "How do I pray for revival?" And here's what the answer was. Draw a circle on the ground. Step inside the circle. And then pray for everything inside that circle. Would you pray that God would pour out His Spirit upon you and be willing to surrender yourself to be filled with the Spirit of God daily? Can I just tell you what we are saying to God when we don't pray? We're saying to God, "God, I got this." That's what we're saying. "God, I got this. Stay out. Don't bother yourself. Or maybe keep your hands off. I'll let you determine." We don't need more human power or human strength. We need the Holy Spirit in power to change us. You know why? You should be able to say this with me. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." One last truth. The Holy Spirit is not only all-powerful, the Holy Spirit is unstoppable. Absolutely unstoppable. By the way, this sermon and the planning of the end of the series on the Holy Spirit, it's kind of like my pastoral report to you. Because I think this is so much better than any thoughts or ideas that I could put down. I want you to see the promise that was given to Zerubbabel on this day. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O mountain?" You know what the mountain was? The mountain was the difficulty that was in front of him. It was the obstacle that was in front of him. And it looked so great and so impressive. One commentator says that, it was Charles Feinberg, who said that when he speaks to the mountain like this, "Who are you, O mountain?" It's a defiant challenge. It's like, "Get out of my way!" I've never said that to a mountain. Maybe if I did, it wouldn't have changed anything. "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become," what's this? "A plain. And he shall bring forward the top stone." That's the capstone of the temple. This is what Zerubbabel's going to do. He's going to bring forward the capstone amid shouts of grace. Grace to it. This mountain, these obstacles that look so great and so impressive, the Holy Spirit is unstoppable. The word to Zerubbabel this day was that these obstacles which seem so massive are nothing to the Spirit of God. Red Sea, Jericho, lion's den, Goliath, a dead Savior on a cross are nothing, because it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We are told in verse 6 and verse 7 that Zerubbabel will walk up to the temple and will place the capstone, that top piece of the temple, signifying that the temple will be finished, and that temple was finished, among shouts of grace, grace to it. What does that mean? It means that the people are going to stand around and they're going to see this work that has been completed, and they're going to say these words: God did it. And he used us. God did it. And he used us. The mountains that we face, the difficulties that we face in ministry, the struggles that we face in ministry, the obstacles that we face in ministry are leveled by grace. It's God working in and through us. Folks, God finishes his work. He does. And as we represent him as, ready? As lights in the world, he will finish his work. He will bring it about. Question. You want to be part of it? That's really the challenge of this text. It's not just to pat us on the back and make us feel encouraged about what we're doing. It's about calling out to us and saying, well, you want to be a part of it? Because God is looking for people who will stand up and say, you know what? I want God the Holy Spirit to use me. I want him to work in me and through me, because it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord.